I hope that you had a little burning in your hearts, as I had, as I raised my hand in sustaining President Hinckley as president of the church, and as prophet, seer, and revelator, and the other officers that have been presented to you. What a wonderful and grand opportunity that is for all of us to be able to sustain our living prophet upon the earth today. But not only just sit there and just raise your hand in a haphazard way, but to feel it in your heart and soul that you not only sustain him, but you endorse what he has been doing and what he has done for us in representing us to the world, and for the marvelous and inspired way in which he has communicated with the world and spoken to the world, particularly in these last few days and these last 2 weeks, particularly the way that he has represented us. A few years ago, when Arturo Toscanini was musical director of the New York Philharmonic Orchestra in New York City, he had a Saturday afternoon radio broadcast. And one day he received in his mail a crumpled little note on some brownish paper, which read, "Dear Mr. Toscanini, I am a lonely sheepherder in the mountains of Wyoming. I have two prized possessions, an old violin and a battery radio. And the batteries are getting weak and beginning to run down on my radio. And my violin is so out of tune, I can't play it anymore. Would you please sound an A next Saturday on your program?" On the next week, the program, Arturo Toscanini announced to a newfound friend in the mountains of Wyoming, "The New York Philharmonic Orchestra is now all together and in unison going to sound a perfect A." And they sounded the perfect A. Then that lonely little man was able to tune the E string and the D and the G from that perfect A that he now had his violin. Isn't it interesting to reflect in our own lives and in the lives of many people who may hear me at this time, those whose violin is a little out of tune, or a string of the violin, or some other instrument that they might play, might be a little out of tune. But to come and be able to come to a general conference of the church and hear the marvelous messages that are spoken, and those of us who have that opportunity to do so, pray mightily that we would have the energy and the strength and the vitality, even as I enter the twilight of my life, to have the energy to stand and the desire to bear witness of the truthfulness of this work, because I am a witness of it, as I have had the opportunity to grow up, as many of you have, and as many of you would, of course, would wish to have, of being raised in a Mormon home, and to be a product of the church, but to have had the opportunity to go out and live in the world and rub shoulders with people in high places, whether it be in government or the corporate world or whatever, to be out and associate with people and to be able to share with them the feelings that you have in your heart. Often, President Hinckley has said to us in some of our meetings, and I think he has said it publicly, that behind his desk, he has a picture of Brigham Young. And sometimes when he's had a busy day and a hard day of making many, many, many difficult decisions, that he turns in his chair and looks up at Brigham's picture behind him and say, either ask Brigham or in his own mind would say, Brother Brigham, what would you have done? Or what advice would you give to me? And so when we think of what has happened in the last few years, and you all know so well, of the inspiration and the direction that has come to President Hinckley in the expansion of the church, in the building of temples, just as an example, the building of temples and the remodeling of the Hotel Utah into that marvelous building now, the Joseph Smith Building, which bears his name, and for this unusual structure that we're in today. Probably nothing like it in the world. And for us who have for now a number of years worked with and by the side and listened to and been associated with President Hinckley, what a marvelous experience we've had and blessing in our lives as we have seen and felt and been part of the things that have been moving forward. And as he would look at Brigham Young and think of the inspiration and direction that came to that most unusual man, and to think of how he was able to fill the void caused by the death of the prophet Joseph Smith, how he stepped in and was able, under inspiration and revelation, to guide and direct the closing of Nauvoo and the planning of the trip west and of the continued work there at that time on the Nauvoo Temple and the way that was organized to move forward out with the wagon trains crossing the west and into the Salt Lake Valley, into what would become the Zion, where they could worship and teach and preach and build the meeting houses and all that would be needed for this civilization and for this culture that we have to expand and grow here. And for the inspiration that came to the prophet Brigham Young, for those people not to just build up a big city in Salt Lake, but to move out into these other settlements. And so he had the genius to have people go out and look for the valleys and the areas out ways from Salt Lake City where the pioneers who would pour into this valley, where they could go and settle and make their homes and build cities and communities and build their personalities and their characters and develop the talent that would be theirs. And so rather than having a large city in Salt Lake, which it has grown into being, but just think under his leadership, there in a few years, some 360 communities have been developed out in Wyoming and Nevada and down in Arizona and in southern Idaho and as well as in Utah, how we've spread out into areas and how people moving out away and setting up in these little communities, they develop the talents, the ability, and so people could serve on school boards and serve on town councils or become leading people in a little town where they became citizens of that area and where they would start building schools and expanding those communities and to see what has happened in this area that Brigham Young envisioned and which he helped set in motion. Just think of how that has developed, of the developing of this settlement as an example in Las Vegas, so that people could go on down into San Bernardino, California, or the people could come by ship into San Pedro, California, go to San Bernardino to be outfitted and helped with the equipment necessary to come into this valley, and then out into the communities, down into San Pete County or up into Idaho or elsewhere. I have become a product of that because my mother's family, when they arrived here, were sent out into Tooele to settle. And then later on, they were sent up into Idaho, where a sawmill and a grist mill was needed to be built. My family had settled in Farmington, part of this colonization that I'm referring to. The colonization that made people and gave them opportunities. And rather than being lost in a big city, they were in a smaller community where they could become, develop their ability, and where there would be more schools, a need for more school teachers, and where people would develop their ability and talent. And so out of all of this, with my family were asked to leave Farmington to sell their green acres and go out into southern Idaho, where it was nothing at that time but sagebrush. And so out in a little settlement of that kind, my family, my mother and father, fell in love out in there, and by the time they're 20 years old and ready to be married, where would you be married? In the Logan Temple. How do you get there? You get there by buggy. How long would it take? Well, 5 or 6 or 7 days. Highways and good roads? Of course not. Roads made by wagons going over the sagebrush and through the bushes and over the rocks. Where would you be married? Where would you be sealed? Only one place. You go by buggy. So that becomes part of my heritage. And so you grow up in these little towns. Then the church decides to open some academies. And they open some 30 of them out in these areas far away. And so one of those little academies was opened in our town. And now it became an area where many from neighboring areas would move into that little town to get a higher education. Of course, the higher education was only a high school, but it was referred to as an academy. But I'm only referring to the inspiration that came to the prophet Brigham Young years ago in the settlement, in the development of this area now that surrounding Salt Lake City in general, and then to think of who we are today and how this has grown, and the blessing that has come into our lives to have President Hinckley as our prophet, seer, and revelator, and leader, and to envision what is happening and what will be happening now ahead of us. If we just have the faith to be able to continue to do what has been started for us and what is on the way and being done, all of that faith. President Hinckley often speaks to us about developing more faith with our people. That faith is a result of our living the principles of the gospel, living the way we should, and raising our children as we should, and to seeing them grow and develop and developing their character and personality in a way that they become an example of what we believe in, and what we have a hope and hope to do and hope to accomplish. You'll all remember that the man who had a son that was a lunatic, and he approached the Savior, and on that occasion to the Savior asked if the Savior would bless him to drive that evil spirit from his son. And the man told the Savior, "I've asked your disciples to do this, but they haven't been able to do it." The Savior blessed that little boy, ill boy. The evil spirit immediately departed. And the Savior's disciples came to him and said, "Why couldn't we do it? Weren't we able to?" And the Savior, you'll recall, said, "O ye of little faith, little faith. If ye had but the faith of the tiny trying to think the name of that little tree.
Mustard.
The what?
Mustard.
The mustard. If you had but the faith of the mustard seed. Thank you, President. I keep the President around to help me here. If you had but the faith of a mustard seed, I don't know how many of you have really seen a mustard seed. A few years ago in Jerusalem, we were in the car with the driver, and he said, "Oh, there's a mustard tree." And I said, "Let's see it." We got out to look at the mustard tree, and it had a little pod on it. And I was able to open the pod of that, like you would see on a locust tree, and see those tiny little seeds, not much larger than a drop of pepper, as tiny as a mustard seed. Just imagine the analogy that the Savior was teaching the people. If you only had as much faith as that little tiny mustard seed, and I held it in my hand, and I could hardly see it. If you had that much faith, you would say to the mountain, "Move hence." And it would move if you had that much faith. "Oh, ye of little faith," he told us. And so what we need is the faith of Brigham Young and the faith of the Gordon B. Hinckleys and the faith of people who are our prophets and leaders. God lives. I know He's real, that He is our Father, and I know that He loves us. I know that. And I know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. I have felt of that influence. I'm a witness to it. I know that the prophet Joseph Smith and all of the historical accounts we have of what he did as the instrument of the resurrection is true. And that the prophets down through the years and down now to President Hinckley are called of God. The work is true. I leave you my love, my witness, my testimony. That burns in my heart, that all the days of my life I hope to be able to tell somebody and help somebody understand that this work is true. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.